Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, what is up this week? Another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright with the king of the 10mm socket, Mr. Shane Osborne,
who's currently working on his cell phone.
That's right. Smarter which he should be. Am. He's the tech guru of the entire evening. And Steve, the producer, Johan, who is doing his very best impression of a ninja, which means he cannot be seen.
Yeah!
Back to the blacktop is first. It's where we check out the latest happenings in the automotive world. And
You asked for it. Kind of like that show way back when.
Which one?
You asked for it.
Oh, my gosh. There's a memory flogger.
What happens to a
Who was that
dollar?
Art Linkletter?
No.
Groucho Marx.
No.
Who was it?
It was the guy kind of reminded me of the professor on Gilligan's Island, that kind of a guy. And every week they'd say, well, you asked for it. And they would go, well, how many times does a dollar bill pass between from the mint to the time it goes in to be destroyed? And then they would track this thing down and all sorts of really cool stuff. Saturday night.
I think you're making this up.
No.
I think you're a lot older than you appear to be.
We're talking mid-60s, dude. It was black
and
white.
You know, any dollar bill you pick up, there's a really good chance it's either been...
Actually, it wasn't a dollar bill. It was like a 50-cent piece, if I remember. It was like a 50-cent piece, and I remember watching that one. That's the only one I remember.
It was shiny rocks.
What's that?
Shiny rocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stick! I have stick.
Now, I have it on good... There's going to be people listening right now that go
at some point,
I watched that show when I was a kid.
Welcome to TV Trivia, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, don't worry. Both of them won't be offended.
No, jeez. They won't.
That's right.
Yeah, all two of them. Thanks. I appreciate the support, guys.
All of our many listener.
All my listener support out there. Okay, yeah. Facebook us and tell us if you watched You Asked For It.
No, don't waste Facebook's time on something silly.
Oh, Brady, come on. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yes.
Why do you think we talk about old cars? Because it brings back memories of our...
Well, at least that's the theme of nominal theme of the show.
Speaking of cars,
yes, dude.
The rental car business faces a growing threat to its future from ride-sharing companies, according to a new survey by Alex Partners. A recent report put out by Alex Partners suggests that the $30 billion U.S. car rental industry is undergoing a tectonic shift.
Say that again.
A tectonic shift.
You know, the needle
with boundaries.
Just goes bam, bam, bam every time you say tectonic. Now my forehead is bleeding. Go ahead, do some more.
I'm not going to get through this reading. Come on. Oh, okay.
Welcome to Tongue Twisters.
With boundaries not just blurring but being obliterated between car rental and ride hailing and other forms of new mobility. I love the way these guys write. The companies that survive the shift will be those that act now to transform themselves to be relevant in a world which seems to prefer to simply clicking on the app that's standing in line at a rental car. Now, I'm going to say something.
Okay.
I don't believe a bunch of this.
We're waiting now.
I don't believe in any of this because my wife and three boys and I just went to New York. We flew in and we rented a van and spent 2 weeks on the road traveling all over the East Coast.
Between the airport
and we
your
weren't
hotel.
The only ones that were doing the same thing.
Sure.
And not only that, I was talking to somebody Sunday and we were talking about Uber and Lyft and they said, you know, a really interesting trend is happening. There's Uber drivers, unlike my son who went out and bought a new car. There are people who are actually in some areas partnering up with the rental agencies and renting the car while they go out Uber, and then they come back and they drop it off.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You can rent it for $35 a day.
Well, that's right. So this idea that the rental companies have to worry, no. It just means that Jane and Jan that are coming into town to spend 3 or 4 days, they can rely on the Uber driver who's actually renting from Rent-A-Car to get them around.
Well, what they're talking about is a shift in the business model. And that's okay. The fact is, I think that Uber and Lyft and the other casual ride companies, they're really something that gets used in the inner cities. They're something that
gets used
for casual short trips, generally speaking. Nobody's getting an Uber to drive, you know, from Seattle to Portland.
You don't rent a car to go from Linwood to Seattle.
No, but you do rent a car if you're on vacation in another city.
You're going
to be driving 3 or 4 days because
you
want to go where you want to go.
Yes.
It's just a difference, you know, in the way the business model is going to work. And like you say, if the Uber and Lyft guys at some level are renting a car from Hertz or Dollar or whoever else they rent from to do their biz, that's probably more economical. They don't have to worry about the service and upkeep.
Yep.
And,
yep.
you know, there's another opportunity for the rental companies.
And
they could actually have fleet, you know, discounts for that kind of thing.
This person was telling me.
Yeah.
And what's nice about
it, sense.
You can rent anything and it's brand new. Therefore, you don't have to be paying the insurance.
You don't have to lease a car.
Up company, yeah, you're not exactly. making the my son.
You don't have to clean it.
No.
Yeah.
So it may
clean one.
Ashtray's dirty. Let's get another car.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
I want to rent a dragster.
Me too.
I think that's a seriously missing piece of the rental puzzle. Like to rent a pro stock car, and let's go out to the track.
I think it was back in about 9 years ago when my wife and I spent our 20th anniversary in Hawaii. We just got a little Econo box and we were fine. But
right.
you know what was the very everybody was renting over there? Think about 9 years ago. What was the really cool popular pony car that was around at that time? Convertible Mustangs.
Yes.
Everybody in their neighbor were renting convertible Mustangs in Hawaii.
I rented a two-seater, three-wheeled little runabout thing that's powered by a lawnmower engine and will only go 20 miles an hour.
Oh?
Perfect. It was lots of fun.
I'll bet you
it had a centrifical clutch.
I'll bet you the
slingshot. It was hilarious.
The slingshot's going to be very popular in a lot of places.
Oh, they won't let you rent one of those.
Really?
They won't.
Would you seriously? You have to have a motorcycle license to drive them.
Oh, uh-huh. You're right.
I mean,
you rent motorcycles.
Actually, I could have rented a motorcycle when I was there, but I didn't have my endorsement then, so we both got on 50cc scooters and got to ride around town, although you couldn't go out of town. So next time I'm I'm going to ride a motorcycle. Well, I know I should have, but
you going to follow me?
But speaking of Uber, just a week after it restarted its autonomous passenger car program, Uber has shuttered its Auto, which is the division that was charged with developing self-driving trucks. The ride-sharing company says it wants to concentrate on developing the driverless car and SUVs that could eventually lower the cost of using its services. But the decision to shelf Auto, which is their driverless trucks, comes as Uber struggles with a series of setbacks, including not only the death of a pedestrian hit by one of its self-driving prototypes, but also legal battle ongoing with a Waymo spinoff there. An employee accused of stealing critical intellectual property. So,
well,
I'm telling you, I still hate the idea of autonomous vehicles. I really do.
It's an interesting thing. Eventually, they'll do it, but it's going to be a long ways out.
Not my lifetime.
Well, maybe.
No, don't say that.
I think 10 years out, probably they'll have gotten it to the point where the technology can be reasonably expected to avoid emergencies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But right now, when you got them sharing the road with people who are driving,
no.
I'm not so sure that it's the autonomous cars that would be the problem. I think it's people
who
are driving.
Well, that one was the person just walked right out in front.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of random
stuff
that
happens when people just drive their car. People walk out in front of them. And then another one, EP standards may be lowered, which is sending fear down the tailbone of anti-oil advocates. The plan revisions to the Corporate Average Fuel Economy, or CAFE standards, set to be announced by Trump administration, could save as much as $500 billion in societal costs, according to a draft proposal revealed over the weekend. But on an individual basis, motorists could wind up spending thousands of dollars each, while the potential to the environment may also be substantial. A new plan could increase U.S. fuel consumption by as much as 500,000 barrels a day. So what they're trying to do is take it away from the 54.5 mile per gallon shoot for target at 2025 and bring it back down to about 37, 38, 40.
Seven years.
I don't
think they're getting an average of 54 miles a gallon.
I don't think they're going to do. Come on.
Obviously, you can do it, but it's going to require
not
the death of the muscle car.
And half your fleet has to be electric then.
Yeah.
which may be why they're all pushing for electric.
Well, there's more of this coming, I guarantee you. Today's trivia question is coming up, too, and a bunch of stuff you never heard before. I guarantee it. All that and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. Redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit Father.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to the second segment of Horsepower Chrome and Rust. As usual, we got Steve, Brady, and myself. And this time for the windshield view. Lots of things going on around here in the Western Washington area. Car shows and cruises and drive-ins.
And yeah, and you know, I just wanted...
And where were you for the drive-in, by the way?
Oh, so yeah, what Shane is talking about is this last
drive-in.
Week. Oh, yeah. You were
sent
gone.
Me out on
you
a mission.
Well, everybody got to go. There was an outfit that put together a sort of a charity show, a showing of the movie Grease on a 60-foot inflatable drive-in theater out at Thomas Family Farms out in Snohomish, which is a ways east of Seattle, in case you don't live in the area.
It was 96 degrees.
Yeah, it was huge. There were lots of people out there, and they wanted a bunch of cars, a bunch of hot rods to go and, you know, add some color to the thing. So, you know, we put out the call, and several people came. Shane went, what did you drive out there?
I drove the 50 Buick.
Oh, nice. And oh, you drove, did you, was that Greg's car?
No, Greg drove his, too.
So you had, was it the black one?
I drove the black one. He drove Maryland, so we parked him
very
side
nice.
By side.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Now, did he have the got rod out there as well?
No, he had some issues with the front control arms on it was in repair.
I thought maybe he'd have issues with the police since that thing is so freaking loud. Well, oh, my gosh. He's driving around with a dragster, basically.
Well, it was a great show. I understand it was just tremendous. I could not make it. And I told Randy, the guy that put the thing on, ahead of time that I wasn't going to be able to. So I had people to go. I think there were several other people who were supposed to show up. Ken Cook was going to go, and Greg, somebody else that I can't remember his last name. But was it just you and Greg?
Me and Greg, and there was a gentleman from the Thursday Night Garage Association.
Yeah.
He had brought out three cars.
Oh, great, yeah. He said he was going to do that. Okay.
How did he drive all three cars?
His friends.
He just went home, got another one. His wife kept bringing them back and forth.
But he lives out there.
Yeah.
He lives pretty close.
You know, interestingly enough, this last weekend I spent some quality time with some quality people. It was my 40th high school reunion in Ferndale, Washington.
Oh.
It went up Friday early. My wife and I grabbed a hotel up in Bellingham, cruised on in about 5:30, started our meet and greet over at the old Pioneer Park in Ferndale, and hung out, saw a lot of people. Saturday, we had the big doings where everybody showed up, And you know, it was interesting. Over 4 hours, and I still missed not saying hello to people. And
well, there's only eight guys in your graduating class, wasn't there? I mean, you had
about 100.
That's Ferndale High School.
Barney. Yeah.
That's right. Wilma, Betty. Yeah.
No, that's Meridian.
Bam Bam and Pebbles.
that was Meridian or Baker School. But anyway, there was probably about 110, I would say.
That's good.
And we got a
good
picture crowd of all of us. But really cool. Ran into an old friend, Joe Freeman. And if he's listening to me, Joe, get a hold of me. You got my card. He was saying, Steve, I was listening to a show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And
you said they stole our name.
This guy comes on and he says, Steve Johann. He goes, I know a Steve Johann. I wonder if it's got to be the same one, sure
nope,
enough.
Never heard of him.
So he's really into cars. And we had a great, great time gathering together. We're going to get together. But
wait a minute. So you know somebody that listens to the show?
Yes.
So our audience has doubled.
I actually know somebody that listens to the show.
He officially has a fan.
Oh, my gosh. It was great.
A card or letter may come tumbling in.
So I just wanted to be a big shout out to Joey and the rest of my, rest of my class. It was a great time.
Your crew, your homies.
40 years. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And most people looked really, really good. It was great. So, and you know, we had over 17 people that we know of that has already passed on. And so, you know, that takes place. And we had a great time sharing old stories that I'm glad my kids weren't around to hear. So
that is the advantage of being, you know, past a certain age, because all the crazy stuff you did as a kid was before the internet. So there's no record.
No, there's not.
And it's very
handy. Only what people share. And I think what happens is
they make it up.
It's cathartic. You kind of share it, and it's like, oh, it's out. I don't have to carry the burden of what I did in my past
anymore.
Plus,
the statute of limitations on most of that stuff is probably
matter
out.
Fact,
so
there was
a
story about that.
And
we did hear about some statute of limitations and come to find out, it was past it. Now, speaking of statute of limitations, millennials account for new car sales. Did you know that, guys?
I didn't know millennials could drive.
Of
course they can.
There was some speculation that millennials were just going to spend all their time Ubering, spending all their time watching video games, playing video games, and they weren't going to buy any new cars. Well, it says, according to conventional wisdom, you'll still find millennials living at home, spending most of their time playing video games, playing on Snapchat. Last thing they want to do is to drive. They're as likely or never having bothered to get a license. Well, now, that's what conventional wisdom.
Nah.
I'm going to tell you what.
I don't think so.
I got a 23, a 20, and they both love their cars. As a matter of fact, they both have two cars. And my youngest is getting the other guy's car, and he's 15, and he's just learning right now. Yeah. So don't give me this crap that they don't want to drive.
I know a lot of kids don't have driver's licenses. They're in their 20s.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know anybody.
As a group,
boss's kids, neither one of them got a driver's license.
But he's got a blazer. As a group, they're not as horrible as people are making them out. They're going to be fine. When we were that age, we were pretty goofy too, and we turned out, dangerous, psychotic. But, you know, most of us can drive, and I think they can. Although there is something that seems to be pretty prevalent with that particular age group that isn't the way it used to be, and that is an awful lot of them cannot drive a stick.
Yeah. Well,
everything's automatic.
Well, it makes the stick anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or in a car that costs
$80,000.
You know,
exactly.
That kind of brings up this. It says auto, basically the, there is a, well, I just wanted to finish this up because it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Millennials actually accounted for all new, basically most new vehicle sales growth in North America auto industry during the first quarter of 2018. It's been a pretty flat market, and actually millennials make up the greatest part of buyers. So I just kind of smoke that whole
idea. I wonder if that goes along with the idea that some of the majors are getting rid of sedans in favor of SUVs and maybe just the most popular car for that age group. And let's face it, they are in the age of acquisition.
Yes, they are in the age of acquisition. Yeah. Yes. And then AG, creating three divisions within its company, Daimler AG took another step toward a restructuring aimed at giving its three key operating units, cars, trucks, and financial services, greater freedom and flexibility. The plan approved by the company's supervisory board this week creates three new operating companies, while the parent company, Daimler AG, retains oversight and governance. I think it says basically the new structure positions Daimler to tackle the rapid pace of change in the mobility sector and corresponding strategic challenges. Two things here. One, another company using mobility. Honda was the first company to say, we are a mobility company. Now everybody, that was like 5 years ago. Now everybody's taking it on. The other thing is this. I think by having three separate companies, it allows them to focus all their energy, different divisions, different actual company heads, and can really focus on, okay, these are our trucks, these are our semis, our sprinters, here's our auto, and then here's our finance. And then that way, each one can basically, what do you call, turn faster and make changes quicker than if you're being powered by this great, big, huge, lethargic company.
Well, and they weren't the first ones to do that,
no,
actually. Toyota was the number one.
That's right.
They've been doing that for years. You know, they've got heavy equipment, of course. You know, diversification is the smart thing to do if you're, once you reach point X as a manufacturer.
Why wouldn't you? They're huge.
Plus, it spreads out your risk, too.
Yep.
You know, you could take one division of your company and do something, and if it doesn't work, you got some backup. You know,
yeah, only half of it burns and crashes.
Yeah, well, and but you save it with the other half.
Yep, exactly.
Well, and speaking of burn and crash, Mopar recall.
Oh,
According to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, Fiat Chrysler has issued a recall on 2014 through 2016.
Say that again? Fiat Chrysler?
Yes.
It has a weird sound.
I know.
Well, we could say Chrysler Fiat, but that wouldn't be
better.
No. The 2016 Chrysler 300s, Dodge Chargers, Dodge Challengers, equipped with a 5.7-liter V8 and Mopar Stage 1 performance packages powertrain control module. The 28 Challenger RSRT Demon is also affected by the recall.
Right.
Apparently, the PCM is faulty and could affect the cruise control system. The FCA claims the defeat may not just prohibit cruise control from disengaging. There's also a possibility it could cause the cars to accelerate unpredictably. So the check with your local dealership. So
it's not just the cars. It's a piece.
It's a piece.
Of the control system.
Which is typical with any car that goes bad. It's just one piece.
Yes.
Stay right here for more horsepower, Chrome and Rust.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Get ready. It's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmunds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmunds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punk Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismail, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on, because hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismail, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismail. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismail, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome back to the third segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest auto show on the earth. Greatest podcast, at least.
It is.
Incredible. It is. Incredible. Invincible. Spectacular.
That's right.
Anyhow.
Spectacular.
Let me finish my intro here, guys.
Why?
I was going to say, usually this is where we have a great guest. And tonight
and
we do not have a great guest, and we got some great guests coming
up
in the near future.
They're just not here yet.
But tonight it'll just be the three amigos, and we're just kind of catching up. And Shane, it's good to have you back. Last week we knew you were laid out and you couldn't make it here. So which car were you laid out under?
And I was at home. I bit my tongue and
that's
swollen up and I couldn't open
again,
my mouth.
With the biting of the tongue.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Well,
it's okay. So speaking of great guests that we have coming up,
yes.
I have some great, great guests that are going to be a part of the Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show this year. Some of you know, we've talked about it a little bit, because it's coming up it's the 18th annual show, and it's coming up on September 9th, so it's not too far away. And it is in downtown Edmunds, Washington. Every time I put this on the website, I put Edmunds. And there's an Edmunds somewhere in Massachusetts. So people say, so where is this thing? And, you know, I want to make sure
and
that everybody's aware.
It's not Edmonton either.
It's not Edmonton. It's not Alberta. No.
As in the Oilers.
But, we got some great special guests coming for as part of that show. Steve Walker is going to be there. Steve Walker is a member of the Rat Bastards Car Club. He's also a member of the Steeds. And Steve has his magnificent Diamond T race truck, which he will be bringing and displaying down there in prominent fashion. Yes. We're also going to have, this is the first time we've ever had this at the show, we're going to have a pinup pageant produced in its entirety by the Electric Pinup Dolls. And Brenda Cavaretto was here a few weeks ago from the Dolls, and she was talking about it a little bit. They really have, they're going all out with this thing. It's going to be a classy, let's see, the classy classic, or the classy at the classic, or something close to that. She sent
me the
title, and then I don't have it. So it's all going to be like classic pinup. It's family stuff. It's not, you know, lingerie or anything. But they're really going to have some fun, and it's going to be happening just before the first of Danny Vernon's shows. And Danny Vernon, of course, is one of the greatest Elvis tributes that exists, and he's going to be the main entertainment at the show, so it's really going to be pretty cool all the way around. Yeah. I believe that David Dickinson is also going to come. He's going to have the old Car Nut book stuff there with
that'll
him. Lance will not be there. He's going out to the Rod Run to the End of the World. And that's actually something it's kind of a frustration in a way. When you produce a car show almost any time around this part of the woods,
there's two or three on the same weekend.
And
always.
As it happens, on the weekend that the Edmunds Classic, it's the same weekend that the Rod Run to the End of the World in Ocean Shores, I believe. Ocean Shores, yeah.
Yep.
It's Ocean Shores.
Happens, and a lot of the people are going out there because, you know, they do. It's a nice show. It's not as nice as the Edmunds Classic, but it's a nice show. Anyway, they're going to go out. So it's kind of cool. If you want to leave town, or maybe you're closer to Ocean Shores, it's a great show down there. You cannot beat it. On the other hand, if you want to stay around the Pacific Northwest, or you want to just come in and enjoy the weekend, there's a great car show on Sunday in downtown Edmunds, and should be good. We are already over 125 registrants.
And don't worry, E-Company Customs will be there. We're bringing our tools.
As a matter of fact, yes, not only will E-Company Customs be there.
Are you going to do a demo?
No, we're going to let people do
work.
Yeah, this is going to be hurt. I was getting that because you're also bringing your daughter Taylee.
Yes, I am.
That'll be very cool. So yeah, you guys have
we'll have a booth there too.
The show is going to be there. Yep. Signing autographs. I probably won't spend much time in the booth because I'm supposed to run the show. But we'll hang out there. But yeah, so we don't know exactly where your booth is going to be, Shane. But it's going to be in a centrally located area. So what all are you going to bring? Because I'm excited about this.
We're going to bring the bead roller. We're going to bring one of the English wheels.
Nice.
Probably a couple shrinkers and stretchers. We'll probably bring a couple hole punchers and plunging hammers.
You can make a couple of panels for the roof of my car.
Yeah, so we figure we'll let the people get their hands dirty and see what metal shaping is all about.
Cool. That could be fun.
So we're going to make a bunch of blanks.
So we could put the cab to my rat rod on a trailer and take it down there.
See, I've been trying to talk Elton into bringing the... the louver maker.
The louver maker.
Yes, we just got a new louver maker.
That would be cool.
So I think we would need to make some louvers at the...
If somebody wanted to just actually give a try to some of this stuff, maybe they haven't done this in your car, but you'd like to learn how, that'd be a great opportunity. You can actually sort of learn how to...
Shape metal.
Metal and build car parts.
And we'll have the whole staff on hand to answer questions.
Excellent. That means my son probably going to have to be down there.
Your son will be down there.
Now, if your son wants to come a little early, he can help park cars and do registration.
It's kind of interesting. He's got a he's had this Crown Vic that he bought from the neighbor years ago. It was a 89 Crown Vic. And there were some problems with the water system, and we had replaced a bunch of stuff, but we knew there was maybe just something wasn't tied down too good. So he and Shane went in after it last weekend, and they nailed everything down and got it all done, and now he's going to do a few other things. But then Elton shows up, and he says, you know, that would be pretty cool if you actually took the grinding wheel and started removing some of that paint. And what was the kind of finish he was saying?
They're going to paint it with a clear coat over top of what's already there.
Right, so just...
So give it a nice patina. Get rid of all the flakes.
But keep it from getting any worse.
All the flakes, kind of remove it all down, kind of make it a... I don't know. I don't quite visualize it. It's going to have swirl marks and everything?
Well, I don't know what they discussed about that, but what I overheard was they were just going to get all the flake off of it and reseal it and give it a nice patina.
So basically wire brush it?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the clear coat on that car is coming off so bad.
It is. Yeah. It needs to just be completely just removed.
So if you got your wire wheel and you took most of that off of there, you'd still have some paint perhaps, but you'd also have some body metal, and some of that metal is colored, you know, just because it is, aged and stuff.
Yep.
Then you spray over the top of that, you're clear.
Yep, and then it all seals it all in.
Is it like rust reformer?
Kind of.
Because some of that stuff, I mean, I have used that because it's handy to keep it from getting any worse while I'm waiting to do some more.
Yeah.
It actually preserves
the aged... It's just a clear coat because he doesn't have any real rust on that thing.
Yeah, it preserves the aged look of the metal without letting it further degrade.
Yeah, then you can wax it and wash it and have a normal kind of paint job.
Because we were thinking of just removing it down and taking it over to Mako and doing a $300 paint job, so this will be about the same thing. So. Yeah. Now, speaking of paint jobs and in metalwork, I came across a really cool thing. It's a 72 V8 Vega from the Hemmings Car of the Day. And what's interesting is, guys, I started thinking, is there a huge relationship between the Vega and the Camaro? Look at that front end.
It's designed by the same guy.
Well, yeah.
It's like I didn't really notice.
Seriously, they were designed by the same guy, same team.
It is. It's cool.
It's like the Vig is a simpler version.
It's a baby brother of the Camaro.
Yeah. It is. But that front end with that very unique 72 front.
And the big fish mouth.
Big fish mouth.
Right.
And
you could put teeth in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that is really cool. And then the Chevelle, it has a similar but not quite.
Yeah, it's a little more square.
Right. And then I even looked at the 72 trucks, and it's got this
Well, there were styling cues that ran all the way through the mark. And if you go and look at the GMC trucks, you'll see they're really, really similar to the Chevys of that year.
That's right.
I mean, that style, that generation.
If you look at all car manufacturers, especially with the Dodges, Chryslers, and the Fords, you look at the same year, and there's all these styling cues that are going on.
Yeah.
And that's what ties those together. So if you're a real freak, you could say, I want a 72 Camaro, Vega. I mean, you could get that whole model years and see some similarities in there. But that just struck me. I went, You're right. It's the same designer. You could just see pulled off the thing. And then I wanted to find out, is there any really cool tools that we need to be thinking about? We haven't talked anything about tools for a while. And,
well, actually, as far as tool goes, one of the coolest tools out there is the new lithium impact wrenches and ratchets.
I saw those.
The amount of power they're producing from battery-powered tools now.
Yeah.
I've given up all my air tools. I have a lithium-powered impact gun. It's over 600 foot-pounds of torque. My air ratchet I traded in for a battery-powered ratchet.
Plus, you don't have to listen to the compressor screaming at you.
How about grinders and how about...
The grinders, they have battery-powered ones, but the air's just... You use the battery so fast.
I was going to say, when you're grinding, you're doing a lot of work for a long time.
But as far as all the, you know, your mechanic tools,
right.
The lithium-ion battery... they've come out with are just phenomenal.
I'm trying to find somebody who wants all my old DeWalt
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's okay stuff, but the batteries are hard to charge, and after a while they charge up short.
Heavy,
yeah.
The new stuff's super light.
Yeah.
Yeah. My drill, my Bosch power drill, it's like half the weight of my old Craftsman, and it's more powerful. Yeah. So it's like,
I got DeWalt and Makita.
Yeah.
And they're good, but they're also 10 years old.
Yep,
and
that's what I'm saying.
You know, the change is amazing.
It's crazy.
Now, speaking of parts and pieces, I found this very fascinating. Now, with all the new cars and all the new technology, you would kind of think, well, people aren't going to be working on their cars. Well, according to SEMA, 8 straight years of growth in the automotive, especially in equipment market.
Yeah.
It went from $37 billion, that's with a B, in 2014 up to $43 billion in 2017. It is a 4% growth year over year for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, pickup products alone counted for $12.44 billion. That's 29% of sales. Pickups in...
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah,
I mean, there are many magazines, TV shows devoted to nothing but four-wheel driving and Jeeps and pickups and all this.
The difference, if there is one, I think, is not that fewer people or I think as many people are working on vehicles maybe as did. The change is with all of the electronics and the other stuff, the computers and stuff that is part of those machines these days, the tools in order to be able to do it have increased in price. I mean, if you're going to be a serious mechanic, you're talking $20,000 plus just to have the tools to do the job. Now, as a home guy, you don't need to spend that much because you're probably not going to take one down on the front. Well, you might, but you don't need that much stuff. But if you're going to do engine work, if you're going to do suspension work, if you're going to do, you know, stuff that is powertrain work, some of that stuff you're going to have to get in order just to do the job. And that's where the guys at SEMA are making bank because all of that specialty stuff is, you know, where they live.
Well, you worked at a number of shops before where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm. I have.
And what were like more the what was the most some of the top expensive?
Well, it used to be scanners. Just getting into the computer systems.
Yeah.
But nowadays,
your phone.
You download an app on your phone, plug it into the USB port, and
used to be Sun. Remember Sun?
Yes, I remember Sun very well.
Well, now the
thousands
fixed,
and thousands of dollars with Sun.
Yeah, the fixed app alone.
Yeah,
it's $40.
You got one on your cell phone.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's, I mean, it's not magic, but it sure solves everything that you really need.
Interface with the computer and the vehicles nowadays. I mean, almost anybody can tell you what's wrong with your car.
And it seems to me that once I've pull off the shroud and pull off the plastic,
it's still a motor.
It's still the motor, and everything's the same. Or four-cylinder with my wife, or six-cylinder. I'm like, this isn't that complicated. Just remove the top thing that makes everything look like it's so busy, and all of a sudden you're like, what's the same engine?
Just
same
don't buy
thing.
A Citroën.
yes.
Citroën?
Well,
I know.
Nobody can work
on
those. They're not. They're not normal.
Those and Saab 900s.
Hey, there you go. My friend had a Saab 900.
They put the motor in backwards.
Oh.
Because they could.
Yes.
Well, my dad's got a Saab.
Against a firewall.
I don't know what it is. But
or a Wankel.
A Wankel, yeah. Exactly. There were some weird cars out there.
Well, my dad's got a Saab, and I don't know what model it is, but he's had it for probably 15-plus years, and he bought it used, and he loves it, and he's 92.
Is it a bathtub?
It's just... Like
that's
this.
That's what they used to call them.
Yeah,
bathtubs.
Yeah, no. This is a pretty looking
They're
car.
Pretty nice cars, but
he loves it because when he bought it, it felt really good to his body type.
Oh, they're comfortable.
It was very,
nice
very comfortable.
Drive.
Nice to drive.
They're horrible to work on.
Yeah. Well, he's got a mechanic that takes care of him really well, and he I think he puts all of about 500 miles in a year.
Because he
just doesn't do a lot of driving. And that's good. He's 92, but yet he's still chipper. And
if he's 92
out.
And he's driving 500 miles a year, good on him.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
marvelous.
Right.
Good for him.
And then one other thing I did notice is that something electric from Harley-Davidson. And it,
yes.
It's kind of interesting.
Yes.
But they are moving into small bikes. They are going to be developing 250s to 500.
Yep.
And
this is the second time they've tried to do this, by the way.
I know. Yeah. But they have to go into their offshore market.
Yeah.
Which is what they're really focusing on. Well,
they're going to give it a shot.
They are. So hang on. They also have electric that's coming out really, really quick. So hang on. We'll be right back with more of the show. We've got a really cool hot rod story coming in up. And some more trivia. We've got another trivia question.
You got a great trivia question.
For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. RavenstoneVaporHoning.com, redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Get ready. It's coming. The 18th annual Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening September 9th, 2018. And yeah, you heard right. For the first time ever, classic motorcycles are included. If you have a hot rod, a rat rod, classic, custom, vintage car, truck, or motorcycle, this is the show for you. All vehicles must be 30 years old or older. That's 1988. This festival of steel and chrome will fill the streets of downtown Edmonds on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's a season-ending show, and it's all free to see. The streets will be lined with vendors, food, fun for the family, a pinup pageant by the Electric Pinup Dolls, and many special guests and one-of-a-kind customs. All new trophies and music from Danny Vernon. Register your entry at the Edmonds Chamber website or call direct. Pre-registrations get the best locations, so get on it right now. Still, just $25 per vehicle, as always. The Edmonds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is coming to cap the summer car show season. Why leave town when the fun is right here? Go to EdmundsClassicCarShow.com or call the Edmunds Chamber of Commerce. Crank up your ride and we'll see you there.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrunner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. This is the old fourth segment of the show where we hear a story from Brady.
Yeah, we do. If I can find the story, just 1 minute. Ah, yes, here
yes,
it is.
Yes, he was as prepared as I was.
No. I have, you'll notice here in the book, I have two things marked here. But I want to do this one because it's cool. As usual, this is another one from the
always
old Car Nut
cool
book. This is from book three.
Oh, book three.
And this
last
is
week was book one.
Trilogy.
Yeah, this one is stuff that's written by travelers from 1915 through today.
Ooh.
And it's kind of cool. This one is a story by Dave Darby, and it's called Don't Tell George. So people whizzing across Iowa on Interstate 80 are in a rut, but perhaps they don't know it. Or maybe they do, but they're unaware that there's not only a way out, but untold treasures just a couple of miles to either side where U.S. Highway 6, America's longest highway, dances back and forth following the curves of the land and paying respect to property lines laid centuries ago by some forgotten pioneers and farmers of days gone by. This is where you find hidden treasures and the gems that are slowly fading from our collective memory banks. One such gem is the world's oldest ice cream soda fountain, the Wilton Candy Kitchen, has been in continuous operation since 1856.
Wow.
Hopefully they've cleaned the freezer. Built in that year for one R.A. McIntyre, this quaint little wood-framed building, which leans slightly over to one side, sort of like a cartoon, has been in but two generations of the Nopolis family since 1910. That's where Gus Nopolis bought the business, and he ran it until he turned it over to his son George, who is now 94,
wow,
and runs it with his wife Thelma. George is possibly the world's oldest soda jerk. Visiting the candy kitchen is a treat, and George will share his very wry sense of humor. He sings, he whistles, as he scoops out your ice cream. You're not going to find this in some chain restaurant out of the interstate. Now, people who've made the pilgrimage to this Iowa landmark include legendary actor Gregory Peck, Brooke Shields, Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, and yours truly, who first bumped into this treasure in 2007. But this story isn't about that day. This story begins the following year when my wife and stepsons set out on a trip across Iowa on Highway 6 in our 1999 Jeep Grand Cherokee. We were going to take the boys to see their very first drive-in movie in Newton, Iowa, and we stopped by that day to visit George and Thelma and get some ice cream. About the time we were getting ready to leave, the air raid sirens went off, announcing a tornado watch. Thelma took charge, herding the entire shop over into the basement of the nearby community center until the storm passed. Now, afterwards, when we returned to the candy kitchen, Thelma refused to take payment for our ice cream, saying instead, "Don't tell George." After thanking her and saying goodbye, we started west, only to have the check engine light come on and the temperature gauge ominously head to the right after just a few miles. A check under the hood confirmed pulley had fallen off the water pump. So we limped the Jeep back to the candy kitchen and asked Thelma if she knew anybody with any tools. Once again, she sprang into action, finding one customer to give me a ride to the auto parts store in Muscatine, and then she took me on a trip around Wilton throughout her neighborhood until she found somebody with some tools to loan me. The candy kitchen was getting past closing time by then, but no matter. Not only did they stay open late, but she made my wife and stepsons grilled sandwiches and root beer floats while I went about replacing the water pump. By the time I'd finished, it was nearly 9 p.m., and when I came in, Thelma sent me off to the restroom to wash my hands, and when I came back, I asked how much we owed for the food, and once again, she refused to take any money from me. Instead, she pressed $60 into my hand and said, "Don't tell George." I protested, saying I had a good job, I didn't need it, but she refused to take the money back. Now, Thelma is that kind of pioneering spirit. When the old train depot in Wilton needed restoration, Thelma donated thousands of dollars to the effort. She even found an old railroad semaphore signal and negotiated the purchase and delivery. A few years later, when my fledgling organization was raising money to put historic Route 6 signage along that stretch that went through Wilton, Thelma was one of the first on board. She sat on the city council meetings, joined me in making the cause for the historic signage. With Thelma's help, Wilton was on board, and as were the towns of Durant and Walcott, we were finally putting up the very first set of historic Route 6 signs in Iowa. Later, when we went to set up a sign presentation at the community center with the mayors of the three towns along that stretch of road, Thelma learned that we needed to cater this historic event, and she pressed $200 into my hand. I think you know by now what she said. In any case, don't tell George. Is that cool or what?
That's pretty cool.
That's small town America.
And it is.
It's, you know, you think hearing stories like that, and I love that story. Do you think maybe, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't exist anymore? But I have to share with you, my family was originally from a little town in western Montana called Thompson Falls. And there's probably, well, it's the Sanders County seat. But if you go there now, that kind of stuff happens every day. It's, you know, it's still out there. It's still there.
Well,
you just have to kind of stumble in and find it.
It was probably about 4 years ago, five maybe, and I was down in Oregon, and I noticed my check engine light doing some weird stuff, and my power was kind of going down, and I realized, the alternator is not doing too well here. But I'm in the middle of, and I called around, and there wasn't any way to get it fixed there in Eugene, or Salem, And so I said, I got an idea. Let's see how far we can go. Maybe we can get home. And we got all the way to Chehalis. And there is the little Centralia to Chehalis. I always forget which, but there's an exit you come off. There's a Shell station and a little stand there, AMP mini market kind of thing.
Right.
And that's when it let out. I mean,
that's,
literally.
That's Chehalis.
So it's Chehalis. So yeah, I get off. I go in. I look at the phone book. Oh, they're not going to tell me home. My coverage won't cover this. It's too far away. So, okay, I got the idea. I walked in. I says, is there anybody in here that might be able to take me down to the store and I get a battery? And she says, well, my son is over there. Why don't you go talk to him? So I walked over and he says, yeah, sure, I'll take you down to the Walmart. So he drove me down to the Walmart. I picked up two batteries and we came back and I took my little pliers and I took off the battery, put the new one in. I gave him a couple bucks and thanked him, and we got in and we got all the way to South Center and it stopped. I got out, pulled that battery out, put the other battery in, got all the way home and got to the auto place the next day.
No alternator, just running on straight battery.
That's exactly right. But it took care of it. But yeah, it was a lot cheaper than getting a tow home. But the bottom line is this, is those people were very, very friendly.
Sure.
And very, very helpful.
Absolutely.
And I have found that. I've even picked up strangers on our road trips where somebody's run out of gas and helped them and take them down and took them back, and it sidestepped us. But you know what? They were so grateful, and I love that's. I think most people are going to help out when they can. So,
except for the guy with the hockey mask and the machete. Now, I'm not going to stop and pick that guy up, but you know, mostly it's okay.
Hey, all of these hockey mask off
just to get the ride, then you put it back on. Yeah, these stories are all from the Old Car Nut book. This one was book 3. David Dickinson, of course, is the compiler, and you can get them at theoldcarnutbook.com. You can get them on Evancourt Press and through Amazon as well. And as we always say, there are 3 books in the series, and they make a great gift. So there.
Well, I wanted a possible class action suit against Toyota. We got a couple minutes here. Toyota might have a stinky legal problem on its hands.
Well,
a proposed class action lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, now here's where it is, claims that the automaker committed fraud by failing to properly address the HVAC problem that leaves Camry cabins in an unpleasant scented state. Condensation is the culprit in this issue.
Oh.
And so it condensates in the filter cabin.
That would be condenses.
And it condenses, and out comes this smelly thing. So they're trying to accuse Toyota of covering up the fact that it doesn't have a problem. Or a solution. Have you ever run any of that kind of stuff, Shane?
Not really. We live in the wrong state for
that. That's true.
Yeah. Here we have mold problems.
Yes, we
different
do.
Smell.
Sometimes mice, too.
Yes.
Weekly trivia questions coming up. We also got a hit at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored 4-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The law offices of Ambulance and Chaser are making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit the Shelter Pet Project.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Thank goodness for commercial breaks. If you had any idea what we say around here when the mics are off, welcome back. It is the fifth and final segment, thank goodness, of the show. This is Around the Wheel. We talk about events, rallies, clubs, and stuff that goes on behind the scenes, which we're not going to talk about. We do, however, a winner of the trivia contest from last week's show. Yes, we do. The question was, I can't drive 55. Basically, what year did the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit get enacted after the oil shortages? And that was kind of the cue or the clue to that one.
I thought it was about 76.
74.
Oh.
It was 1974, and Don Riggs in Tacoma sent us a Facebook thing, and he said, I know what that is, you morons. And so Don will, of course, be receiving a handsome Simulfax copy of what looks like a bucket of barn dust fine,
yes.
Dust. As we give everybody who wins the trivia contest, they get a bucket of barn dust that you can sprinkle liberally over any vehicle and immediately quadruple its value. There's a picture of the barn dust, by the way, on the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page. If you go through the photos, you'll find it. It's really fascinating. Trust me.
And if we get our act together, we'll actually post everybody's the name of the winner with the barn dust on it.
Well, I mean, promise that. Us getting our act together is probably...
That's what I'm saying. When?
So I got a great trivia question for next week. This is a good one.
Right.
And this is going to be really, really vague, but you'll get it if you really think about it. There was a key automotive event that happened in a particular year, which I'll tell you in a minute. This event changed the entire face of the automotive business for decades to come. And this event happened in 1984. George Orwell had nothing to do with it.
The invention of the round wheel.
No. 1984. So if you know what the event was that occurred in 1984 that changed the face of the automotive business, you can get with us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Or you can answer the question on our Facebook page, which, of course, is Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Or you can send us a text. Or you can send us a smoke signal or a telegraph.
Or talk to us when you see us.
Talk to us when you see us at some random event. You can do all of that.
And I got a question. Is Hot Rod Church coming up this month?
It is going to be postponed 1 week.
Okay.
Elton will be out of town. My wife's birthday is that weekend. And it is also the same weekend as Seafair around here. So
That's right.
We figure there's enough going on, so we're going to postpone it a week.
All right. So that's
we'll
at E-Company Customs. Let us know when it's going to be.
Yeah, I will.
We will heavily promote that.
Yes. Because we all three hang out at that place.
Yeah, it's basically an excuse for us to go get free donuts.
Yeah, exactly.
But anybody who came could get free donuts as well.
You guys have
to
come over and see the new shop truck.
You got a new shop truck?
Well, we got the old shop truck. We decided to put new life into it.
I see.
We got a high-performance 350.
Jacked it up and put...
Oh, man, this thing's going to be a nice truck.
Nice.
Is that the 64?
Yeah, it's got a high-performance 350, and we got the Holley Sniper fuel injection carburetor for it.
Excellent.
It's probably inside. If I drive by on the way home, I won't see it.
No, it's inside, yeah.
See how you are.
700 R4 tranny.
To leave it outside with the keys in it.
Excellent.
I'll just drop by and take a look.
Sleeper.
That's cool. So let's see. Now, this weekend is the 4th, 5th. Let's see, 6th.
We're spending this weekend together.
Yeah. But I mean, so the next one will be 7, 10. What's the next weekend?
Well,
you got a calendar over there. What's the weekend?
What's the weekend after this one?
Here we go.
The 11th?
Real quick.
This weekend, we're taking my daughter to her first drag race.
Oh, very good. Is that for your wife's birthday?
Is that this weekend?
That is this weekend.
We're talking the 12th.
The 12th, okay.
The 12th.
Yeah, that's right. 12th. This is going to be great. So the Mellow Yellow National NHRA Finals are this weekend at Seattle International Raceway.
Yes.
And Shane will be coming as my guest, and he's also going to be bringing his daughter, Taylor, who has never seen Top Fuel funny cars and dragsters in person. This will be exciting.
Yes. Yes, we're going to shake her world.
Oh, man. We'll get video. So this is our cue. We're going to hit the gas until next week. Thanks for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. Check out the archives at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I am Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.